Welcome to the Story Story Night podcast, where you hear true stories on a theme, recorded live on stage and without notes. I'm your host, Jessica Holmes. Today, we recount two stories of the uncanny from our spook show in late October. Both tales focus on the creep factor that comes with the sneaking realization that it's coming from inside the house. Featured storyteller Leslie Kelly Hall first steps out of a shower to a snake, spook, and mayhem.
Wow. Hi. Well, tonight I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me in my 20s. And I'm going to set the stage a little bit. I want to tell you, I am really scared of snakes. I mean, so scared of snakes that I can't watch Ka in The Jungle Book. The mothers in the audience are absolutely knowing what I'm talking about. I can't watch Harry Potter and the second movie, you know, where the whole snake thing's going on. And then there's the cobra scene. Okay, so I'm scared of snakes. So I have to start this story with, I am scared of snakes. So this is about 30, no, can't be that, I'm not that old. By the way, the costume tonight is the younger woman. Just thought I'd point that out, because it's not obvious to all of you. So anyway, this is a few years ago. I was in my 20s, and I was living in Orangevale, California. And I was getting ready to go on a business trip, and I had to fly out that afternoon. My husband at the time was away, and I was home alone, relishing in a day alone, getting ready to go on a trip. It was just me and the dogs. And so prior to getting ready, I thought, oh, I'm going to have a shower, you know, turn the music up high, open the sliding glass door, things will be good. So I did these things, and I got in the shower. I had two dogs, Brittany Spaniels, wonderful pointers, fun dogs. And as I finished my shower and got out, I came out into my bedroom. Well, my bedroom had this sliding glass door. Now, those of you who are old enough to remember the 80s, remember vertical blinds? They're plastic. They're horrible. They make a lot of noise, right? Remember that? Well, I had them across my sliding glass door. And as I come out of the shower, I look at my dogs first, and it's kind of weird, you know, really weird. Their skin is up. Their hair is up. Their hackles are up. The teeth are showing. The gums are up. There's a low growl emanating from both of them. And I look. There's movement on my vertical blinds. Like your finger down a piano. And I look. The whole length of my sliding glass door is a snake. It is not just a snake. It is a snake in the biblical proportions snake. It is so big that I think, oh my God, it can't eat me. All of this happens in a flash, let me tell you. The snake goes brrrr, and then it coils up. It coils up. It's 6 feet tall. It is 6 feet tall, and there is a tail up behind it going brrrr, and the blinds are going brrrr. The whole thing is noisy. There's a cacophony of sound. The dogs are up. The skin is up. The hair is up, and I'm going, holy shit. What does one do? Is there anything in the rule book that tells you what to do about this? I don't know. So anyway, so the snake. Holy buckets. Towel drops. Totally wet. I run to the dining room table because it is elevated. Snakes can't really go up dining room tables. It's not been known to happen. Have you ever heard that in a book? So, I'm on the dining room table. The dogs have followed me under the dining room table. They are circling the dining room table. They're waiting to point at any given serpent. And I am naked on the dining room table. Now, in the 80s, we all remember not only the vertical blinds, but the raised platform dining rooms. Anywhere here have raised platform dining rooms? I did. Well, that not only meant that my dining room table was raised, but that when I was on top of it, it was raised, and that my windows, instead of being this high, are this high. Imagine you're on a corner lot. It's 11:30. Your blinds are open, and the kindergarten children are coming home. I am naked on the dining room table, wet, hyperventilating, and waiting to die. What do I do? Oh, jeez Louise. So, naked on the dining room table, totally scared. What do? I put my head between my knees. That's what you do when you're scared. Hyperventilating. I'm composed. I'm calm. I open my eyes. There are kindergartners outside my window. They are looking at me. Their mothers are shielding their eyes. Their fathers are shielding their eyes and smiling. I wonder, is it better to be eaten by a serpent or have your reputation in the neighborhood go completely crap? I decide on the reputation. So I sit on the table, naked, hyperventilating, but I'm now calm. I'm thinking, you know what? I will hear about them tomorrow. I can deal with it tomorrow. So, okay, so it's fine. There's just children. They've seen naked people. If it's an open society, they've at least seen their mother naked. They're five. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm all right. But I need help. You cannot really sustain a career naked on top of the dining room table and with a snake in your bedroom. So I think I live in Sacramento. I will call UC Davis. They have a veterinarian school. Surely they research these things, and they can help me. The phone is in the kitchen. I'm in the dining room table. What do? My animals are fodder for snake. I can do that. I say to the dogs, go get them. They go, shoom, boom, boom. I run to the kitchen table, grab the phone, bring the phone, get on the dining room table again. The phone has a dial pad in it. For those of you who are just of the cell phone age, they actually have cords. You bring them out. There's a little punch pad on it. You dial the number. It's called 411. You get information, and you say something like, UC Medical Center. No, I didn't. I said, UC School of Veterinarian Science, UC Davis. I get transferred eventually, and that's a totally story onto itself. I get to the veterinarian school, and I think, aha, I have a snake. It's available. It's free. It's at least 12 feet high, and it's in my bedroom. They're going to come. I'm sure of it. I get an intern who says to me, after much discussion, lady, we don't do animal rescue. What the hell are they talking about? Animal rescue. This is human rescue. Human rescue with a purpose. They should come and save me. They don't. They hang up. It's totally useless. So what do? Okay. He says animal rescue. A hint. I will call the Humane Society. Surely they will save me. So I call 411, Humane Society. Hi. I explain my story. And what do they say to me? No problem. Is it a rattler? It made a lot of noise. It was at least 12 feet high. It went piano thing, the whole thing. And they said to me, lady, what was the head shaped like? It was triangular. I knew that much. That means poisonous, right? They're going to come faster. He says to me, lady, all you have to do is pick it up from the backside of its head and throw it out the door. Now I know the meaning of animal rescue. It has nothing to do with me. I'm thinking, geez Louise, I am the one. I am the victim. I am on the dining room table. Okay, so that didn't work. So now what do? I'm naked on the dining room table. I have totally offended everyone in my neighborhood. I have now offended the UC School of Veterinarian Science and the Humane Society. I call my boss. My husband's out of town, and I call my boss. Get to his wife, who says, surely we'll be over there. So they arrive. Now, this is 110 degrees. My boss, Jim, arrives. He has camouflage from head to toe and his weapon of choice. It's a 5-iron. His wife, Barbara, arrives in hot pants up to here. Totally, you know, we remember those wedge shoes? Anybody here old enough to remember those wedge shoes and hot pants? The girls, they look pretty cute, but anyway, different story. So Barbara arrives. Oh, honey, it'll be fine. Jim will take care of us. Jim hates snakes as much as I do. But, oh, wait, I forgot to tell you. I'm not naked when he arrives, are you? I'm thinking at the time, before he arrived, I thought, oh, heck, neighborhood plus, you know, neighborhood reputation thing, I can handle. The whole job security thing, not so much. So anyway, I did use the dogs, sent them to the bedroom, knew they might be killed, got a robe, and came back to the dining room table. So I'm on the dining room table now with a robe. So my boss, knock, 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 come to the door, open the door, and there's Jim in his camouflage, Elmer Fuddish with a five iron. And Barbara's going, oh, honey, what do you think? What do you think? Barbara, there's a flipping snake in my bedroom. Oh, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Jim will save you. So Jim takes off into my bedroom, five iron ready, and he goes into the bedroom. The dogs, I've said to Jim, Jim, it's okay, they're bait. So, of course, we say, go get him. The dogs take off. Jim takes off with his five iron. He goes into my bedroom. He beats everything in my bedroom absolutely dead. Every pillow, every drawer's been opened with a five iron. Everything's been beaten to a pulp. I'm feeling safe. I have a 3 o'clock plane. I have to pack. Snakes can go into closets, can't they? They can go into drawers. They could go into suitcases. I'm convinced that they have the Samsonite code. So, I get into the bedroom. Jim is there waiting with his five iron. The dogs are lined up. Barbara is, I think, mixing cocktails, and I am in my bathrobe waiting to get. We get packed, and we go off. I get off onto my business trip, and I come home. And I've called Jim. I've called my husband at the time, and I've thought, okay, guys, I want a serpent update. I want to know what has happened to that vile creature. Is he still in my bedroom? What's going on? They assure me that the snake has been found and been killed. I am reassured. I'm confident. I come home from my business trip and I open my door. I feel at peace. I feel fine. The next day, I'm in the backyard and I look at my neighbors and my neighbors say, hey, Les, did you see the snake? So what snake? Because I want to find out what they know. What snake? They said, oh, yeah, I saw it this morning. It's like 12 feet. It was on your side of the fence. It's when I established my pattern of growling. I just growled at my neighbor, and I went in. There was a lot of things that happened as a result of that. But the end of the story is I'm no longer married to that person. I no longer work for that boss. I no longer live in that city. And Orangevale has lost humans. Thank you.
Next, story slammer Peter Vomasil shares a story of a haunting whistle coming from the attic.
All right. How are y'all? Good. Well, thanks for having me. It's awesome to be here. I've been back in Boise for about 8 weeks now. I was here in the early 2000s, and this didn't exist, so it's kind of cool to come back to something new. But I want to tell you a story. I bought a house about 5 years ago. And, of course, you know the standard routine. You unpack boxes for weeks and weeks, and they kind of pile up and accumulate in the garage. And then you think, well, where am I going to put all these boxes? I have a fear of commitment, so I have to have the boxes kind of close, right, in case I want to pack everything up and get out of here. So they're all in the garage, and I'm thinking, where am I going to store all these boxes? And I realize that above the two-car garage, there's a pull cord, and it pulls down a set of stairs. And you walk up the stairs, and above the garage, there's an area that's kind of finished, right? It's like a storage area. There's also an unfinished area. There's an unfinished attic, and for those of you that have owned homes or have climbed up in attics, you understand what the unfinished attic is like. It's full of insulation and, you know, all kinds of spider webs and this kind of stuff. So anyway, I throw all the boxes up there, and it's June, and I have all these big plans. I'm kind of a DIY guy. So I have all these plans for the house, and so I buy this skylight that I'm going to install in the kitchen. And as the summer rolls along, I keep looking at the skylight. It's in the garage. I don't get a chance to install it. And I'm in grad school at the time, so fall comes around and school's back in session. And so I go back to school. Winter break comes. It's January 2nd. and I look at the calendar, and I've just resolved that I'm going to take the opportunity to get these things done. So on the 2nd of January in Oregon, I cut a 4x4 foot hole in the roof of my house. And the neighbors are all like, who is this guy? You know, and they don't know me real well by then. But the thing that they don't know about me is that I worked as a roofer for four years, and it was no big deal. Like, you know, I had it under control. So I installed the skylight, sealed around it, rained the next day, and never leaked. So the next couple weeks, I'm working on the skylight at night. And if any of you understand the process of the skylight, you've got the roof window, but then you've got to bridge the gap between the ceiling and the roof, right? So you build out a skylight, a well, and you sheetrock it and all this. So I'm working up in the attic, and I'm a student, so it's late at night. And, I blew it. So the one thing I'm supposed to tell you about this whole thing is that when I went upstairs to put the boxes in the little storage room above the garage, I pulled the light, and I realized that there's this big toy train set. And it's in total disrepair, but it's huge, with multiple tracks and switches and rail cars and all this stuff, trees. And so I called the realtor, and I say, oh, the former owner must have left the train set up here. And she calls me back 4 or 5 hours later and says, no, actually, the train set, it lives with the house. And there have been 4 previous owners, and the train set stays. So back to the skylight thing. I'm doing the skylight thing late at night. And I was playing iTunes, but you know how you run out of a playlist and it just stops. So the music stopped, and it's maybe 1 o'clock at night. And all of a sudden, I hear what I think sounds like a train whistle. So, thinking it's my imagination, and knowing the fact that there are no train tracks for miles and miles and miles, I kind of stop, think about it, think, no, it's a figment of my imagination. So I keep working and working and working, and I hear it again. So by this point, you get a little irrational. And I'm wearing a tool belt that's got a hammer in it. So I grab the hammer, and I all I can do is like look down. I can't look anywhere else because the shadows just, there's something in the shadows, right? And so I crawl my way out, run down the ladder, close up the hatch, go to bed for the night. This happens a couple more times. I'm working in the attic at night, and I hear this whistle. It's crazy. So one day I'm riding my bike, and I'm about 5 miles away from my house, and I hear this whistle, right? You all know. So I think, oh my God. So I'm right there, there's a charcoal plant, and I figure out, oh, it's a shift whistle. And that must be what I've been hearing at night, right? And so I go home and go to bed. And, it's no big deal. I think it's no big deal. And I wake up suddenly with a start. And I hear, pull the covers back over my head, and I go to sleep. So one of the things that I realized was that I went, the train set was in disrepair, right? And I was thinking, hey, it would be so cool if I could give this thing some tender love and affection and, you know, put it back together and make it whole again. And I thought, maybe if I put it back together and show it a little love, I can kind of ease the spirits. And so that's what I did. I put the train cars back, and I put the tracks back together. And I never heard the whistle again. To this day, I still own the house, and it's rented to renters now. But when I was leaving the house, I put two padlocks on that door to protect the children that are playing with the trains. Thanks very much.
Thanks for listening. Story Story Night is brought to you by presenting partners, the Boise State Story Initiative and The Cabin, venue partner, The Linen Building, design partner, Neighborhood All-Stars, and our broadcast partner, Boise State Public Radio. Please donate now at radio.boisestate.edu. Our Story Story Night theme is by Dan Costello. Hear more at hearcostello.com. And please join us on the podcast next week for a story from Nick Garcia and a few surprises. Learn more at storystorynight.org.